Hello and welcome to The Top Story, a podcast with the headlines of the day from our correspondents around the world. I'm Tianlu, coming up in this edition. Iran has vowed retaliation after seven of its military advisers are killed in what it believes to be an Israeli attack on its embassy in Syria. Israel has ended its two-week operation at Gaza's Al-Shifa hospital, leaving it in ruins as it prepares to attack Rafah. And more than 1,600 people are homeless in Tanzania due to heavy rain and flood. We begin with the Middle East. Iran's ambassador to Syria has vowed responses after a suspected Israeli strike flattened Iran's consulate in the Syrian capital and killed seven people. Hussein Akbari says the action has undermined international law.
All Syrians know this is the consular office of the Iranian embassy. Israel's action has undermined all standards of international law. It committed crimes against the Palestinian people in the Gaza Strip. Besides, it also committed crimes against the Lebanese people, Syrian people, and the Palestinian people in the West Bank.
Iranian media say a senior commander in the Revolutionary Guards Corps was among those killed, and Tehran believes he was the target of the attack. The Syrian foreign minister called the airstrike unjustified. Israel has declined to comment on the incident. Ehsan Kivani has more from Iran.
Iran's ambassador to Syria says the consular building next to the embassy was hit by six Israeli missiles as well as F-35 fighter jets. This is not the first time Iranian military advisors are targeted in Syria by Israel, but a direct attack on Iran's diplomatic mission is unprecedented. After the attack, Iran's foreign minister Hossein Amir Abdollahian said Israel would be responsible for the consequences of this action. The minister said, since Switzerland represents U.S. interests in Iran, Tehran immediately summoned the Swiss ambassador and an important message was sent to Washington as the U.S. is the main supporter of Israel, according to Iran's foreign ministry. The ministry says Tehran will later decide how to punish Israel. Iran's foreign ministry says this attack is a gross violation of international regulations, especially the 1961 Vienna Convention on Diplomatic Relations. The spokesperson of Iran's foreign ministry expects this action to be condemned in the strongest terms by the international community and the United Nations, and necessary action should be taken against the aggressor.
That was Ehsan Kivani on reactions following a deadly attack on Iran's consulate in Damascus. In Gaza, Israel has completed its two-week raid on the Al-Shifa hospital, leaving the largest health facility in the Palestinian territory in ruins. Noor Herzian tells us about the situation in the area.
Gaza's civil defense forces say more than 300 bodies were found on Monday morning in the Al-Shifa hospital and surrounding area following the Israeli army withdrawal. Authorities said the bodies were lying everywhere in the hospital's yard, including women and children, while some of them showed signs of decomposition. Israeli forces allegedly burned parts of the Al-Shifa hospital, including the specialized surgical building, which contains three floors of operating rooms, intensive care rooms, and recovery rooms. The facility was considered by many the best surgical facility in the Gaza Strip. Palestinians claim Israeli forces also destroyed medical equipment and supplies, including blood pressure and ultrasound devices and X-ray rooms. Israel says it was targeting Hamas fighters. Ahmed Mohsen is one of the civil defense workers who arrived in the early morning hours. He described the scene.
The Al-Shifa medical complex is now completely destroyed. All the buildings were burned. A large part was targeted by the occupation forces and warplanes. As we were heading down the road, a number of martyrs were found, including their bodies completely decomposed. A large number were picked up from the vicinity of the Al-Shifa hospital.
One eyewitness, Hazem Abul Auf, was receiving treatment for earlier wounds at the Ashifa hospital when the ground operation began.
We sat trapped inside the reception area for almost 2 days. Then the Israeli soldiers entered the hospital and moved us to the Prince Nayef building. We sat on the ground. The place was very bad and not suitable for living. Then they moved us to this building. We are sitting around rubbish. There is no food or water. My circumstances are difficult. My left hand has been amputated and there is no treatment. And I have a platinum compound in my leg.
Hamas described the Israeli operation as a genocide and called on the international community to take immediate action to enter Gaza to investigate. For its part, the Israeli army claimed that it was conducted without causing harm to civilians, patients and medical teams.
That was Noor Harazian reporting from Gaza. More on the conflict. Israel says it will take U.S. concerns about a planned offensive in Rafah into account. Officials from the two sides have held a virtual meeting and agreed on follow-up talks in person. Israel's planned attack on Rafah has put Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and U.S. President Joe Biden at odds. Nathan Kane has more.
The Israeli-U.S. relationship at the moment is very, very dire. It's ostensibly talking about the planned Rafah offensive in the south of Gaza by Israel. The US has said don't do it. There are over a million Palestinians there, many of them refugees from Gaza city in the north. But of course it comes hot on the heels of the US abstaining on that vote in the Security Council about a ceasefire. Israel complained about it heavily, and also Chuck Schumer's speech. The leading Democrat, Jewish Democrat, the Senate Majority Leader, calling on Netanyahu to essentially go as Israeli Prime Minister, even though the US has decided to transfer more planes and weapons to Israel. In spite of their reservations about this, relations are very low indeed. And of course, Israel is seeing a resurgence of its domestic problems with protests and calls for elections. Remember, the Israelis were meant to be here in person last week, but they cancelled that after UN Security Council vote. We don't know when they'll be here in person. We understand potentially next week. As far as things go, even though shuttle diplomacy across the region about a ceasefire and possible hostage negotiations.
That was Nathan Kane on the rift between Israel and the US regarding plans in the southern Gaza. Staying in the Middle East, the victory of Turkey's main opposition party in local elections has cast light on the next presidential election in 4 years. In a blow to President Recep Tayyip Erdogan, the Republican People's Party retained its control over key cities and made huge gains elsewhere. Louise Greenwood has more on the implications.
It's the biggest setback for Turkey's Islamist AKP since the party came to power 2 decades ago. After weeks of campaigning, in which Erdogan often joined candidates in the push for votes, the AKP has seen its support crumble across the country. Turkey's 5 biggest cities are now firmly in the control of the secular Republicans. In the economic hub, Istanbul, Republican Mayor Ekrem İmamoğlu said it was a new dawn for the nation.
My dear citizens, you have opened the door to a new future today. Starting tomorrow, Turkey will be a different Turkey. You have given the opportunity to take the first step towards a Turkey where democracy, freedom, equality, rationality, science, love and solidarity thrive.
Conceding the setback, President Erdogan told supporters he would respect the outcome, adding his party was facing a turning point.
We will focus more on the urgent issues of our country, especially the revival of the earthquake zone and solving our economic problems. Until today, we have determinedly implemented our medium-term program and 12th development plan, which are our roadmap in the economy.
As well as gains in the main urban centres, the Republican CHP also made headway along the Black Sea coast and into central Anatolia, areas previously loyal to Erdogan's AKP. And there was success too for the Kurdish party, with Turkey's 3rd biggest political force taking control of 10 regions in the southeast. With inflation edging back up to 70% and the lira still stuck at historic lows, it's the economy that has dominated voter concerns.
Even though a majority of these voters supported Erdogan in a series of elections for the last 20 years, Erdogan is no longer delivering. The economic downturn is eating away the party's base. So that was a clear message.
The result also casts doubt over Erdogan's ability to run for office again in 4 years' time, when Istanbul Mayor İmamoğlu looks set to be the candidate for the opposition. But after two decades of AKP rule, many Turkish citizens, some of whom have known nothing but Erdogan's presidency, are now contemplating a new future with a clear break from the policies of the past.
Now with Louise Greenwood on elections in Turkey. Now turning to Africa, heavy rain and flooding have left more than 1,600 people homeless in Tanzania. Hundreds of houses were washed away in the southern Lindi region. Authorities are trying to keep transportation open as even more downpours are arriving. Isaac Lucando reports.
Tanzanian authorities are assessing the full extent of the devastation caused by the rains. They say affected individuals have been provided temporary shelter in public schools as efforts are being made to procure humanitarian assistance. The ongoing rainy season has spurred the government to undertake repairs on damaged infrastructure.
The Tanzania Road Agency is currently monitoring weather patterns closely. Once a break in the rainfall occurs, we will promptly address any submerged roads and culverts identified through our helicopter surveys, as well as those yet to be surveyed. Our aim is to elevate these roads and bridges to prevent disruptions when the rains resume and water flows over the roads. This will ensure that life continues normally.
The southern region of Lindi has experienced heavy rains before. In 2020, over 4,500 people were displaced when their homes were destroyed by torrential downpours. And the latest weather forecast isn't good. The Tanzania Meteorological Authority says much of the country can expect more of the same over the coming days.
That was Isaac Lucando on the flooding in southern Tanzania. Finally, in the United States, heavy weekend rains in California have brought down a big chunk of the iconic Highway 1. The spring storm is part of a severe weather system making its way across the United States. The East Coast is expecting tornadoes and flooding. Jim Spellman reports from Washington, D.C.
In Washington State, in the western U.S., heavy spring snow blanketed mountain areas. Beautiful for some.
This is the first time for me to see snowing. It's so exciting.
But a major hazard for cars and trucks stuck on slick roads. In California, storms brought snow and heavy rain.
With the rains are coming the potential for strong gusty winds as well as thunderstorms.
A landslide in Big Sur, about 200 kilometers south of San Francisco, destroyed part of scenic Route 1, stranding more than 1,000 motorists.
The extreme weather that hit the West Coast over the weekend is now heading east. Forecasters say the central part of the United States could see rain, wind, hail, tornadoes, and flooding, and some of that weather could make it here to the East Coast. Later in the week, we may see heavy snow in New England in the Northeast.
Experts say climate change is making extreme weather more intense and more common.
The year 2023 set new records for every single climate indicator. Extreme weather, heat waves, floods, droughts, wildfires, and intense tropical cyclones undermine all the sustainable development goals. As Secretary General of the World Meteorological Organization, I am now sounding the red alert.
To answer the red alert, experts say the world must dramatically reduce carbon emissions. Till that happens, they say, we will continue to see more extreme weather.
That was James Bowman reporting. Recapping today's headlines, Iran has vowed retaliation after seven of its military advisers are killed in an Israeli attack on its embassy in Syria. Israel has ended its two-week operation at Gaza's Al-Shifa hospital, leaving it in ruins as it prepares to attack Rafah. And more than 1,600 people are homeless in Tanzania due to heavy rain and flood. That's it for this edition of The Top Story, a podcast that brings you world headlines every weekday. For more news in politics, business, sports and culture, you can subscribe to The Beijing Hour, a one-hour podcast news magazine program. We welcome and appreciate all ratings and reviews. I'm Tianlu. Thank you for listening.